What is up, team? Welcome back to the Red Storm Rap Reaction Podcast. I'm Pat Kane. Yes, I'm still alive. And St. John's just did something for the first time since 2000. Since the turn of the millennium, St. John's has somehow reached the insurmountable mountaintop, which is the Big East semifinals. I know it might seem like a small task to some, but if you're a St. John's fan and if you've been in it as long as I have, and much longer in some people's cases, this is something that has been a long time coming. And St. John's went out there today with their backs against their wall, much like it has been this past month of the season, and they got the job done. In a, you know, you could debate whether or not a must-win game or not, but certainly close to it. You didn't want to lose this game and leave it up to the committee's hands, especially with other teams in the bubble still having opportunities left to improve their resume. You wanted to go out there and prove it, not only by winning, but St. John's did it in a decided fashion, thoroughly outplaying Seton Hall in the second half, scoring 91 points, having a collection of different production coming from guys across the board, killing Seton Hall in terms of bench production, and a total team effort came out and got the job done. I know it's been a sporadic podcast season for us at the Red Storm Rap Reaction Podcast. I apologize. If it was up to Cole, he'd be here every night. My schedule, unfortunately, couldn't permit it. I do hope to be here for the rest of the postseason. Hopefully that lasts us a few more weeks. But what we saw today is similar to what we've seen over the past few weeks, similar to what we all envisioned would happen with a Coach Pitino coach team, one that gets better and peaks at the right time during the season. I'm not sure if we're peaking quite yet. I think perhaps we still have a little bit ways to go where we can play a little bit better, but we're certainly playing in the ballpark of an NCAA tournament team and one that could do damage if the correct matchup happens to fall their way. I certainly know that coaches in the 6 to 7 seed range are clenching their buttholes, hoping that Rick Pitino isn't the coach that they get drawn for a round one game. It will not be an easy out for any team having to face this guy going forward, these group of guys going forward, and that includes UConn tomorrow night. I wish I could say I know what that game will be like. I have no idea what the atmosphere of a semifinals Big East game with St. John's and UConn playing is like. Not many people do. I do know that Rick Pitino against any coach is a matchup I'm willing to go to battle with. And Danny Hurley may have the best team in the country. He may have the hottest team in the country. He may be coming off a national championship and the favorite to win one again this year. But tomorrow night, something feels different. And I'm sorry for just going off vibes, okay? But St. John's has turned a corner. And Rick Pitino has the energy of the city behind him, the momentum of this city behind him. And college basketball as a whole is a buzz about Coach Pitino having this team playing well and creeping into the NCAA tournament. But tomorrow night, there's business still to be done, okay? A heck of a stand, okay? A heck of a way to improve our standing in the NCAA tournament picture. I mean, we're not 100% locked right now, okay? But we're pretty damn close to it. In my opinion, we've earned that bid. But who knows, if every team below us were to get hot, things might change, all right? But we, tomorrow, can eliminate any of those questions by beating UConn, the number one team in the country, on our home court in Madison Square Garden with the bright lights of New York City ready to watch. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. All right, I'm feeling pretty good about it because we saw tonight a whole collection of St. John's players playing well together. And when there hasn't been many nights where we've had 6, 7 guys having good nights offensively, and tonight we did. We had efforts, big-time efforts from R.J. Lewis and Naheem Aline off the bench, combining for 32 big points off the bench. Lewis's first half was incredible. His spark, his energy, his production, both scoring and off the boards, was the difference for us in the first half and the reason why we were able to hold on to that slim lead going into halftime, even when it felt like we should have been up 10, 15 points during that first half. We fought tooth and nail. We took a couple of the punches. Lewis made a couple big plays late, and we were able to go into halftime with a 5-point lead, feeling like we outplayed them and having something to show for it at least. But we also had starters play big times, have big time stretches in the second half. Jordan Diggle hit big time threes, had some big time baskets early going towards the rim. Joel Soriano deserves tons of accolades and tons of credit for his performance tonight. battling hard all night, not getting a million touches, but still working hard, going block to block, being a beast on the boards. Some huge putbacks, some huge made free throws, some solid defense in the interior from him throughout. Big time game from Joel. We're going to need an even bigger performance from him tomorrow night. Ledlam, big time stuff, hustle plays, blocks, getting on the floor, a three in the first half, making things happen offensively and defensively, and being that glue guy that kind of connects everybody else in the starting lineup. Glenn Taylor didn't get extensive minutes in the second half because Lewis was playing so well, but some big things throughout the game, some nice little plays that don't get shown in the box score, but if you're watching the game, you can see how it impacts the game. Offensive rebounds, putbacks, some defensive rotations, some simple passes. Jenkins, foul trouble hurt him. We saw him sit a long stretch in the first half and the second half when he picked up a second and then a third foul. I'm a little perplexed by how handcuffed Rick is with his foul troubles with his players, but that's his philosophy. He's going to rock with it. Doesn't seem like he's willing to budge. I do think sometimes coaches are too willing to almost foul their own player out by keeping on the bench with two or three fouls where, you know, the only way they can foul out is they're playing. And if they foul out, they can't play. So if you're not playing them because they might foul out, then what's the advantage? But hey, it's Rick Freaking Pitino, so I'll do enough questioning there. But Jenkins got himself in foul trouble, didn't have his biggest production, productive game production-wise, but made some big baskets, some clutch baskets late in the second half, some drives and some finishes, some good solid passes, and was a solid calming presence for us, you know, breaking that pressure late. Did miss a dunk in the second half. If it would have came back to haunt us, I'm sure we'd hear about it a lot. Luckily, we were able to bounce back and respond to that. But this team needs every basket they can get, and I feel like too often we're a little bit too loose around the basket, not focusing on our finishing. Maybe that's just me being a fan, hoping every basket goes in and sitting there, you know, clenching my shirt, pissed off because it seems like we're missing these key baskets. But St. John's has a history, at least in my opinion, as a fan here, of not always taking advantage of the easy ones that a team like St. John's has to. And today we were able to get away with missing some of those. Tomorrow against UConn, we're going to have to be more efficient finishing those easy ones around the basket. Let's pull up the box score here. 91-72. If only we beat them by 20 points, that'd be the only way we could have this feel a little bit better. But hell, 91-72. Six guys in double figures. Lewis led us with 18 points off the bench, 18 points, 9 rebounds, big 8-for-8 from the free throw line. RJ Lewis, you know, a lot has been said throughout the year, positively, negatively, about RJ. His talent is undeniable. His athleticism is undeniable. He has had a little bit of issues in terms of staying healthy and staying available, but he's in a good stretch now in terms of playing. His IQ, his decision-making has been questionable. His shot selection has been questionable. But his talent, like I said, is undeniable. When he puts it together like he did tonight, for the majority, if not the entirety of the time he was out there, you can see what he can do in terms of changing a basketball game. Going coast to coast, finishing at the rim, flying in for rebounds, being a pest with his length defensively, getting blocks or steals or deflections, finishing through contact, drawing contact, getting to the free throw line. If he's able to put it all together, the sky is truly the limit for him. Again, 18 points on just 11 shots. Sparked us in the first half where it looked like no one else has had it going for that stretch, and Seton Hall was making their move, and then helped us close it off in the second half with good, solid play. Never really got out of control. He's still aggressive when he's aggressive, but he picked his spots a little bit better today, and I think that's a good sign moving forward. Obviously, it was great to see him have a huge smile coming off the bench, hugging Coach Pitino at the end of the game. The two of those guys hopefully are continuing to build this relationship and can have a better coach-player relationship in terms of improvement on the court as a player and as a team this rest of the postseason and then next year and the time forward going on from there. Dingle, 14 points. I thought quietly had a really good night. A couple of those threes he missed, he was 2-for-7. A couple of those were heaves at the end of the shot clock. Nonetheless, they're going to count towards his percentage, but he was 6-for-13 overall. Had a couple of real nice finishes, and he also missed an easy one. So, you know, kind of giveth and taketh there. But I thought he played a really good game. It says 2 rebounds. I remember 2 chase down rebounds late, so maybe those are the only 2, but it seems like he's been more active in terms of being involved. I thought he played really good defense in the second half when we really picked it up a notch. Seton Hall had hit 7 threes in the first half. Excuse me, a Corona in March. Not a unique I mean, a very unique choice, you know, kind of not too unsimilar to St. John's making the semifinals tomorrow. Sometimes he's got to change it up, you know, it's got to change it up. Jenkins, 5 for 10, 1 for 4 from three. Ledlam, 11 points, 3 for 10 from the field, 1 for 4 from three. If you just look at those numbers, you'd say it at a ho-hum game, but it was with little things, those second efforts, those energy, the toughness moments that really came through for him. He was 4 for 4 from the line. As a team, we were 19 for 20 from the line. So that's a huge part of why we were able to pull this away and create separation towards the end of the game. Soriano, 14 points, 12 rebounds, 4 for 4 from the line himself. Taylor, only 4 points, but still, it's a small things for him. Zuby, 5 points aboard, had a three with a fortuitous bounce in the first half, but, you know, we can't complain about that. Seton Hall was red hot from three to start the game. Our old friend Dylan Wusu, I really thought for a second was going to come back to kill me. You know, after the history me and him got, if he would have done me dirty like today, I don't know if I could ever come back. I don't know if I could ever come back from it. But thankfully, St. John's defense picked up, and we saw the usual, you know, not lights out shooting from Dylan Wusu in the second half, as well as the rest of Seton Hall Pirates, who in the first half were 7 for 13 from three. In the second half, only made 1 3. So we picked up the defensive intensity on the perimeter, forced them to kind of drive into bodies in the paint, forced tough shots around the rim, and we did a good enough job doing that. Looked like we saw some, I mean, at times it looked like a 1-3-1, but you knew it wasn't a stationary, typical 1-3-1. It was more of like a floater spy in the middle defense, and they would match up on cutters and jump out of that from there. But when the ball was just stationary up top, it looked like a 1-3-1 set. You could even hear Seton Hall's bench calling out 1-3-1. But that defense in the second half kind of got them off their rhythm, forced them into some tougher situations, maybe an increased effort for us defensively. Crowd got into it, and the combination of that was just too much. You love to see it. You know, I'm certainly not complaining about Seton Hall's lack of offensive ability in the second half of this game. Team comparison-wise, like I said, Seton Hall shot really well in the first half. Second half, not so much. For the game, they were 43%. We were 52%, so outshot them overall. From three, we were about equal. Both teams made 8. We were 8 for 23. They were 8 for 22. The free throw line, big differential there. 19 for 20 for us, 14 for 21 for them. Big time stuff there, and that's what winning teams do. They take care of their opportunities at the charity stripe. Points in the paint, 42 to 26, our advantage. Fast break points, 19 to 13, our advantage. They did have more assists than us. Other than that, St. John's pretty much outplayed Seton Hall in every category. Second chance points, 15 to 3, bench points, 37 to 7. Offensive rebounds, we had the advantage. Defensive rebounds had the advantage. Rebounding overall, 39 to 29. A complete beatdown, and something we had to really do to make up for our two previous games against Seton Hall. All right, if you get swept by a Seton Hall team and they're anywhere near you in terms of the tournament bracket predictions, then obviously that team's got to be placed above you. But a 2-1 is a much different split. All right, I mean, it's completely different. You view it so much more separate than you would have previously. And now we're still kind of fighting with Seton Hall, and this puts us, if there's a point where we're about even resume-wise, then their head-to-head record won't be as different, or won't be the difference that it was if it was a 2-0 or a 3-0 sweep. So now it's kind of Seton Hall, who seems to be fighting for one of those, you know, last four in spots where, you know, we've jumped them. And hopefully, if things break right for us, we can get a bye. You know, and by bye, I mean just, you know, one of the top 64 seeds. But St. John's fans just have to take what they can get, okay, enjoy it, and root like hell. All right, because these things don't come around very often. I hope me and Cole can continue to give us some updates throughout the Big East tournament and then through the postseason thereafter. I love doing this. I love the interactions I get with the fans. I wish I could do more throughout the season. I just had some stuff go with, you know, differently this winter that kept me busier during the basketball season. I had to make some tough decisions, but I've still been tuning in. I've been checking out all the other St. John's podcasts and content on Twitter, redfans.com, for me to stay looped into the info when I can't stay as up to date doing this on my own podcast here. But still got the fever, all right, as much as I have ever had. And it's all thanks to Coach Pitino and the St. John's fans that are as crazy as any fan base out there. So kudos to you guys. Kudos to us. Thanks to Cole for stepping in. Thanks to Sean for stepping in a few occasions when I couldn't come in. Thanks for liking, commenting, and subscribing. Let's go get this win against UConn tomorrow night. Let's keep this train moving in the right direction. For Marcus Hatton, this has been the Red Storm Rapid Reaction Podcast. I'm Pat Kane. Peace.